EJSF 90.1 FM would like to remind listeners that the following program is a repeat broadcast.
Quasi-cerebral talk and tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. You are tuned into Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. We are the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on unceded stolen lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikwetlem First Nations. This episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on unceded stolen lands of the Katsi, Kwikwetlem, and Tsleil-Waututh First Nations. And here at Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of these lands, and we thank them for their stewardship. My name is Leslie, and we've made it. We've made it to the first new show of 2026. Hey, how were your holidays? How was your time between 2025 and 2026? I know for me personally, it was one hell of a transition, and I think for many people it was also one hell of a transition, and it feels like this one hell of a transition is mostly hell and not transition, and it does not end. I feel like it's just appropriate to kind of acknowledge this, the first new episode of Typically Tuesdays in 2026. We witness the horrors, we persist despite them, we continue to hold space for both grief and hope, and that is really it. That is all that really we can do right now, is to continue to dream, continue to try to not let grief and rage totally consume us into being inactive, and to continue to resist in the ways that we can in order to ensure our survival and the survival of our loved ones and the survival of the people who we are in solidarity with. That is it. That's my greeting for 2026. And with that, I'm going to do a hard pivot to today's episode topic, which is about international K-pop idol fandom and fan labor and how that has really shifted in the past, I would say, 10 years or so. And I'm using TWICE as a vehicle to talk about it, because TWICE, oh my goodness, they were here last week in Vancouver. They started their... Vancouver was the first show that they did to kick off their North American leg of their This Is Four World Tour. It's been a long time coming. TWICE is a 9-member K-pop idol girl group that I have liked for many, many, many years. Basically since they were toddlers. I mean, like, I think maybe not even a full year after they first debuted, I started to follow them, and I definitely was in the fandom when they filmed their music video in 2017 in Vancouver, and I have been waiting for them to come back since to actually perform. Hey, 8 years is better than nothing, right? So I got to go see them on Friday. It was amazing. And it got me to reflect about what has shifted in the past several years in K-pop idol fandom, particularly international K-pop idol fandom. The roles that social media and fandom labor plays in the ways that a group expands and sees success overseas, and also how that impacts how fandom interacts with content. And of course, if you don't want to hear me talk, you can also just lock in on the music, which is all twice. These are twice A-sides that I really like, and then also there's some pretty banger B-sides in there. So we're going to listen to those today. Let's start off with their most recent single, This Is Four. Then this is the extended version, which in my opinion is better than the original, but hey, whatever. And here we go. This is Twice on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM.
This is for all my ladies who don't get hyped to know if you've been done wrong, then this your song, so turn it up.
I wanna go where the baddest girls are from. Might be another planet, maybe that's what Mother Nature made me. Something about that water tastes like fun. My girl's like a ring, confetti sweet on your tongue.
So turn it up. One time for all my ladies, you're looking good.
flicker tonight. Okay. So I'm looking for a friend up, take off my makeup, I'm sleep good tonight, okay.
Basics by Twice here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Before that, you heard Fancy, also by them, because you're listening to a Twice-centric playlist on today's show. My name is Leslie, and let's talk a little bit about my observations. Let's talk about me. That's essentially what I'm saying. Let's talk about some of the ways that international K-pop idol fandom has changed in the past, definitely about like 10 or so years. Now, I've been a really big fan of K-pop idols and idols in general for a very long time, which has exceeded 10 years, and so I've seen, I think, quite a bit of the change, despite how tunnel vision the internet can get. And I want to first talk about what a fan sub group is, because you need to understand this concept. You need to understand these people in order for us to move on to our topic. Fan sub groups, they don't only exist in idol fandoms, they also exist in, like, basically any fandom that is not with your language, that with the content or programming that does not happen in your language. A fan subgroup is a collective of people who are a part of a fandom who take on the role of translating typically audiovisual material of their fandom thing and bringing it to those who do not speak the language of origin and who need help understanding what the heck is going on in that audiovisual programming. There would be different roles in fan subgroups as well. So there would be a person who was particularly skilled at interpretation and translation. There might be somebody who's very good at web design, somebody who's good at coding or had the skills for video editing and that type of thing, timing. There would sometimes even be like somebody who's just like a good community organizer and could like get everybody's ducks in a row. So long as fandom has existed on the internet, fan subgroups have been able to essentially bring on their talents from various different places around the world. And they would upload this translated audiovisual program onto some kind of video streaming service in order to allow for other fans to, you know, access the thing that they want to see from the fandom, right? So, you know, a really good example would be like anime, just like straight up like anime fan subs, where people would work together to translate an anime from Japanese and give it English subtitles. You know, the degree or the quality of the translations sometimes varies. But that was a big, but essentially fan subgroups were absolutely essential for these programs to have viewers outside of their country of origin, especially if where these viewers were not living in countries that were particularly interested in localizing or translating a different type of, or like a foreign type of entertainment. And, you know, anime is just one example, but of course, when you're into idols who are, you know, not speaking English, idol fandoms need fan subgroups as well. You might be thinking to yourself, but they're, Leslie, aren't idols just like, aren't they just singers and dancers? Like, why would you, are you translating like music videos? Like, why would a group like Twice need a fan subgroup? Well, the reason why is because idols typically don't just perform by singing and dancing. They also perform by essentially being a personality. And so when people like idols, a lot of the times they're not just following them because they're very good performers, but they also follow them because of the persona that they have created for the public. I think for the most part, each idol industry has their own way, has their own conventions of promoting these personas, but in particular with the K-pop idol industry, when it was time to promote a new single, you could expect the group to appear on a few daytime talk shows, maybe a few nighttime talk shows, even some kind of maybe like panel discussion. Maybe one or two members would appear on there, whereas a few other members would appear on like a different program on a different television station that week. They would make appearances on radio and also on variety television shows. Importantly, a lot of the times, the companies would want to sign a deal with a television network that allowed for them to produce a reality television series that followed the idol group around for a few weeks, doing fun activities or like just observing their day-to-day life for, you know, like a short limited series. This reliance on broadcast media meant also that fan subgroups had another really important role, which was to pirate and to somehow actually bring that television program or that radio program into their own servers, translate it, and put it out there for the fandom. They would, yeah, again, like put it onto, you know, really, really early on. I think like when YouTube was still quite young, groups could upload the episodes onto YouTube. Now it's obvious, and then eventually it didn't end up becoming the case, right? Like, they would have to rely on like Dailymotion or Vimeo or even like Google Drive or something like that. But now it's basically not the case at all. In fact, partly because these production companies, these K-pop production companies, have started to self-produce their own online content, they no longer have to rely so much on the free labor of fans anymore, but instead they can rely on something worse, something horrible, generative AI. You know how I feel about that. But let's listen to some music first. This next track is one of my favorite Twice B-sides. It's called Say You Love Me. And I just want to make the disclaimer that in the song, they're saying the word mani, which means lots in Korean. They're not saying the English word money. Okay? Okay. With that in mind, please enjoy Say You Love Me by Twice.
Bird note. A rainy day can spoil the best laid plans to enjoy the outdoors, and watching bird videos online isn't nearly as fun as exploring your surroundings while birding. But the video game Alba, a wildlife adventure, lets you have adventures in a stunning virtual landscape while curled up at home with a cup of hot cocoa. The game puts you in the shoes of a birdwatcher and conservationist on a Mediterranean island. As you traverse the animated ecosystem, listen for the calls of over 50 birds, like the Eurasian sparrowhawk. Or the northern shoveler, which only appears after your character has cleaned up a local nature reserve. Some birds can only be found in certain regions of the game. House sparrows make themselves at home in the town, while great cormorants congregate on big rocks near the beach. Alba can be a great way to learn more about birds, or just a nice excuse to birdwatch without leaving the couch. The game is available on phones, consoles, or your computer. Learn more at birdnote.org. I'm Ariana Remmel.
Never let